someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
He's a man who has seen the world of jazz from inside out as one who performs and one who teaches. He is a trumpet instructor, the coordinator of instrumental music, and for more than four decades, a professional musician who has led students in performances all around the world. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is professor of music and director of the internationally acclaimed Howard University Jazz Ensemble, Mr. Fred Irby. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So you grew up in Mobile, Alabama.
Yes.
Mobile, Alabama. Tell me about your childhood.
Well, I went to Williamson High School in Mobile, and I graduated in 1966, and I received a scholarship to Grambling State University in Louisiana. And my freshman year, it was very exciting because our marching band did the halftime show for the very first Super Bowl. And I had never been to California. In fact, I had never been on an airplane before. So I was very excited. And so I finished Grambling in 4 years, and I moved to St. Louis.
Okay. So what sparked your interest in music at an early stage?
Well, I had a brother who played drums, and at first I wanted to play drums, and he didn't want me to play drums, and so they convinced me to try trumpet. And when I heard the sound of the instrument, I didn't choose music at that time. Music chose me. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing I could do about it. I just went along with the ride. You know?
So you fell in love with it once you heard it. It resonated with you.
Oh, yeah. It was immediately. I knew that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
All right. Now, growing up at that time in Alabama, I would imagine that you had an opportunity to witness a lot of atrocities around the Deep South and racism at the time. What was your perspective in terms of being able to pursue a college degree at a Grambling State versus, you know, what your high school was like as you were coming through?
Well, everything in the South at that time was segregated. The high schools, hospitals, movie theaters, buses, and also when I went to Grambling, it was segregated too. So I had no illusion that I was going to a white school in the South. You know, I knew I had to go to either Alabama State or Florida A&M or Grambling or Southern or Jackson State. That was just the way it was. You know, we were taught that when we were young. So as you mature and get older, you realize that there are other opportunities that you should have had, you know.
Right. Now, obviously, you know, so coming through Grambling State had to have been quite an experience. Historically black college and university, and clearly one with a significant history. What was your experience like at Grambling State?
Well, that was like probably one of the most important experiences. I met several mentors there who kind of like pointed me in the direction that I'm in not right now. My trumpet teacher was excellent trumpet player. Grambling was somewhat a home away from home. My mother died when I was 13, and my father died when I was 15. So those people in Grambling treated me as if I was a son. All the families treated me like that.
Now, what about the instrument in particular resonated once you started to get into the technical aspects of it? Because clearly you said you heard the sound, you were drawn to it, and music chose you. But what about the trumpet specifically to this day still moves you about the trumpet?
What really moves me, I like to practice. And so if you don't practice the trumpet, you can't play it.
Right.
So it's something about practicing and playing melodies, and it's a very physical instrument too. And so you got to take care of yourself.
Right. Now, you, at Howard, you the jazz ensemble, you know, obviously is a major part of the music legacy here on campus. Tell me about your engagement with the Howard University Jazz Ensemble.
When I first got here at Howard in 1974, I was given the charge by Dr. Cheek to create a jazz ensemble to satisfy the NASM requirements. If you have a degree program in music, you have to have a large ensemble. So I was given that responsibility. And we, my second year, we decided we were going to do a recording. So we did the recording, and Dr. Cheek liked the recording so much that he said we had to do one every year. You know, so we started doing one every year, and also we traveled that year to Romania. That was the first trip we took, and that seemed like everything's been just everything's fell in line after that. You know,
you're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Fred Irby. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to switch gears a bit, talking about travel, the intersection of different cultures with music, and especially when you look at the history of jazz coming out of the South, what has been your perspective when you look across your travels across the globe about how other cultures have influenced jazz in particular?
Well, I 3 years ago, I took a group to Senegal, and I got a chance to listen to several drum ensembles, and I could really see the strong connection between jazz and African music. I've been to Europe, and I can see a strong connection with this music, and also there's a strong connection in Trinidad too, with the music of Trinidad and jazz. Several great music, not only Trinidad, but all over the Caribbean, several great musicians have come out of there. The Japanese have a tendency to love this music a lot. We've always been well-received in Japan.
Now, the 2016 DC Jazz Festival Gala, you were awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Kennedy Center. Tell me what that was like.
It was awesome. We had several alumni to come back and perform on the stage. And in fact, the Dr. Benny Golson, who received an honorary doctorate that 2 years ago, he was there and he presented me with an award. Jerry Allen presented me with an award. So some of these people I hadn't seen since like the 80s. Right. And a lot of, in fact, there were a lot of Howard people in the audience too. So I was really happy and felt proud of myself.
Yeah, a special moment. Well, we certainly are happy for you and also very proud of what you've achieved. Who were your greatest influences from a musician point of view?
Okay, I have about four or five, but right away my first teacher, Mr. Ulysses Millie in Mobile, Alabama. I studied with him for 8 years. He was a very fine trumpet player. The second one was my band director at Grambling, Dr. Conrad Hutchison. He helped me as far as being able to be a conductor, how to listen to groups, and how to fix things, you know. I think a lot of musicians hear stuff, but they don't know how to fix it, you know.
Okay.
And the third, when I finished college, I got a job teaching at a public school in St. Louis, and the supervisor of music there kind of took me under his wing, Dr. O'Hara Spearman. Dr. Spearman is, he finished from Florida A&M. He's from Tallahassee, and he went to school with Dr. LaSalle LaFall. So, in fact, when I left St. Louis to come here, he told me to look him up, which I did, you know, and everything. And the fourth, I had another teacher at Grambling. We kept in touch once he left Grambling, Dr. Frederick Tillis. And he's written several pieces for our jazz ensemble. In fact, we did a tribute to Dr. LaSalle LaFall several years ago, and we had a special piece written for him. And Dr. LaFall really loved the piece and everything.
But you mentioned Dr. LaFall, who, you know, was very good friends with a few jazz musicians, one of whom once told him a story about the grace note.
Right.
And whether or not he understood the grace note. What's your perspective about the grace note?
Well, you know, I talked to Dr. LaSalle Fall about this, and I can't think of the name of the term, but he told me that some of the best years of his life was spent in Germany. He speaks German very well. Yes. And we did this piece that we played, that we had commissioned in his honor, was named Grace Note in German.
Okay.
Right. And so my perspective of it, I think grace notes are very important. I don't know if they're important as the main notes, but mm-hmm. they're like, you know, I guess if you're eating a hamburger, you know, the meat is the most important part of it, you know, but the lettuce and tomatoes and all that.
So
grace notes are somewhat like that, you know.
Right. And in life, I think we experience those grace notes in many different ways as well. You know, the opportunities to highlight part of the journey and to reflect on the journey. With that in mind, what would you identify as some of your most important grace notes along this journey of jazz that you've had?
Just running into people, different personalities, especially students. All the students are my grace notes, you know. In fact, I feel that I've learned more from them than they have from me.
Of the places you've traveled to, which of those trips you remember the most or have memories of that you think really changed some of your perspective or, for that matter, influenced your music?
I really love Japan. We performed that four times. Like I said, Senegal, I really like that. And China, we was in China in 1986, before Tiananmen Square, the Tiananmen Square incident. Being here in D.C. has really exposed me to a lot about jazz and music.
Now, there obviously is a growing concern that the art form that is jazz is an art form that may not be practiced as much with our younger generation. What is your perspective about the future of jazz and the participation of this current generation with the art form?
Well, first of all, I've noticed, like, since the 70s when I first got here, the students are better. They have more teaching aids. They have computers. We didn't have computers then. They have more radio stations. And I think they have a passion for it that not as many people have a passion, but the ones that do play this music have a strong passion for it.
Now, obviously, at a university like ours, this is a key program at the university and important for us to preserve it. As you look out into the future, whether it's jazz and trumpet, other different aspects of music and the role it may play in higher education today, what's your perspective about that?
Well, I think that the music is always changing. I mean, when I first arrived at Howard, rock and roll was in, and then also disco, and then pop music, and then rap. So the music is always changing, so we're going to have to, like, keep up with the changes.
What's your favorite piece to play? If you needed a comforting moment tonight, what would be the piece you would choose to practice since you love to practice?
I love to play Along Came Betty by Benny Golson.
So since you mentioned Dr. Golson's piece, and you have your trumpet with you, maybe for our listeners, you could play a portion of that. On that note, that grace note, we will end here. Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Fred Irby, the master of many a grace note, world-renowned jazz musician, trumpet player. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.